Amen. Amen. It is a blessing to have my grandmother back in church today. Amen. Praise the Lord for that. Take your Bibles this morning. Turn to Revelations chapter number 20. Last book of your Bible, Revelations chapter number 20. Yes, ma'am. Amen. 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 We love you, Granny. It's good to have you back. Praise the Lord. Revelations chapter number 20, just a few verses this morning, and a simple thought. I promise you, I don't even have an outline this morning. I was in my office. I had a real sweet message that I had prepared. I really did. I was going to preach on the first verse of Psalms 23 this morning and talk about how the Lord is our shepherd. And I've been studying on that a little bit this past couple of weeks. And I got to my office. You'd have to be a preacher to understand this, but I looked down at my notes and they may as well have been blank. I mean, boy, last night I was thinking, man, I can't wait to hear me preach this. Amen. You ever done that? This is going to be good right here. I got some good stuff, and it will be good when it's time. But I got sitting in my office this morning, and God said, that's not the way we're going. And the Lord began to speak to my heart a little bit, and I said, now, Lord, I've got a family here who has lost a loved one this week. I've got a young mother here who's got problems on the brain, just found out this week. I've got hurting people, God. This is not the way we ought to go. And the Lord said to me, sitting right there in that chair, if you want my blessings, that's the way we're going. If you want my touch or my anointing, that is the way we're going. Revelations chapter number 20 and verse number 11. Now, you got to understand what's going on in this last book of the Bible. In the first three chapters of the book of Revelations, John, he's marooned or prisoned on an island called Patmos. While he's there all alone, he meets somebody pretty interesting. Meets somebody really interesting. The same person that Sister Becky met yesterday face to face. Amen. He met the Lord there while he was in jail for preaching the gospel of Jesus Christ. Amen. And the Lord introduces himself and he tells him some things, and he gets up to chapter number 4 and he says, by the way, John, I got something I want to show you. Yeah, bro. So John is catapulted 2,000 some odd years into the future. Yes, bro. And John sees the end of all things. And he sees the new heaven and the new earth. And here in Revelations chapter number 20, John sees the judgment, the great white throne judgment. And that's where we're at this morning. This has not happened yet, but I don't believe it's very far away. John said in verse number 11, and I saw a great white throne, and him that sat on it, from whose face the earth and the heaven fled away, and there was found no place for them. Verse number 12, he said, and I saw the dead, small and great, stand before God. And the books were opened, and another book was opened, which is the book of life. And the dead were judged out of those things which were written in the books, according to their works. And the sea gave up the dead which were in it, and death and hell delivered up the dead which were in them. And they were judged every man according to their works. And death and hell were cast into the lake of fire. And this is the second death. And whosoever was not found written in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire. Pray with us this morning. Father, as we come before you again this morning, God, we beg your help this morning, Lord. Lord, we need your touch and your power. God, I'm doing my best to be obedient and to say and do what you'd have me to say and do. Now, God, I need you to touch my lips, God. Lord, I need you to put your words in my mouth. Lord God, that it wouldn't be Eddie White in this pulpit, but God, it'd be Jesus Christ, Lord. Lord, I pray this would be straight from the throne room of God this morning. Lord, take the flesh out of the way, God. Empower us with spirit from on high, God, and we'll thank you and we'll praise you for it. It's in Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Revelation chapter number 20, in the verses we've just read, we've read about the great white throne judgment when all the dead are delivered up and stand before God that last and final time. And the Bible says that those that were not found written in the book of life, by the way, I'm glad I know my name is already in that book. Amen. We sing that song, I know my name is there. And hallelujah, I don't even have to see it. He don't even have to open it for me to know. I'm assured of that this morning. But those that were not found in the book, the Bible says was cast into the lake of fire. We sing about heaven. How beautiful heaven must be. When he takes me by the hand and leads me through the promised land. We sing about a brighter day coming. We sing when we all get to heaven. We sing all these wonderful songs about heaven. And we rejoice in that. Is that right? Yes, sir. Now listen, this is probably the most unpopular message that we preach all year long. But even though it's unpopular, I think it's necessary. I believe in heaven just as sure as I'm standing on this platform this morning. Listen, hey, I believe in heaven more than I believe in Villarica, Georgia. And I've seen Villarica, Georgia. Amen? But I am honestly assured of a place called heaven. I am honestly in my heart with every fiber of my being. I believe that those who die in Christ, in other words, knowing Christ as their Savior, having a point in a time in their life where they realized they were a sinner and on their way to hell, they came to Christ in faith and trusted Him as their Savior. I believe when those people die, I'm not talking about at the rapture, I'm talking about immediately, amen, to be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. I don't think Miss Becky's waiting in limbo somewhere. I don't think she's in, what do the Catholics call that place? Purgatory. She ain't in purgatory waiting on the great deliverance. No, she is with the Lord right now. I believe that. How many of you believe you got somebody in heaven? Somebody you love, somebody you know. They died in Christ and you believe that they're in heaven. Amen. I believe that. I believe. Rarely do you run into somebody so unlearned. There's a good word. That will say, I don't believe there's heaven. Everybody wants to believe in heaven. That's our nature, our flesh, to know that there's something better than this. Everybody wants to believe in heaven. And I believe in it just sure as I'm standing here. I believe J.M. Brooks is in heaven this morning, Miss Janice. I believe Sister Bobby's in heaven this morning. I believe Miss Becky, who just went home to be with the Lord yesterday, is in heaven this morning. I believe Brother Charles, your dear mother, is in heaven this morning. I believe Brother Jay, your daddy and your uncle, I believe he's in heaven this morning. Just as sure as I stand in this flesh this morning, I believe there is a place called heaven. How about you? Amen. I'm going. Would you like to go with me? Amen, I've got my ticket. The fare has been paid. Hallelujah. I'm going to catch the bus when it comes. I am going to heaven. How about you? You say, I don't believe you can really know that. Well, I do. And the Bible says you can. John said, these things have I written that you may know that you have eternal life. Amen, I got that thing settled. Just as sure as I'm standing here this morning, listen, there is a heaven. And it's everything the Bible says it is and more. The Bible says, eye hath not seen and ears hath not heard, neither hath it entered into the heart of man. Hey, we ain't got a clue, friend. Amen. Amen. One of them TV preachers said he had an out-of-body experience and the Lord took him to heaven and let him see it. I thought, you a lying, you'd have come home and shot yourself. Amen. If you'd have saw that, you'd have come home and shot yourself. Man, my wife and I went to Hawaii. That's the hardest place I ever left in my life. I felt a call. I thought, man, I was on Waikiki Beach. I said, there ought to be a Baptist church right here. And I believe I'm the man for the job. Amen. Hallelujah. I didn't want to leave that place. And it's under a curse. Amen. I'm saying this morning, I believe there's a place called heaven. Just as sure as I stand here. And as long as we're in this body, we're going to rejoice about it. And we're going to preach about it. And we're going to sing about it. But just as sure as there's a heaven, there's a hell. There is an opposite, a total opposite of what heaven is, and that's a place called hell. Jesus talked about hell twice as much as he talked about heaven. Amen. That's a fact. Just study your Bible and read it out. I think somebody said seven times more than he talked about heaven. He talked about hell. There is a place called hell. And we ought to get hold of the reality that there is a hell. You say, well, you're just an old-fashioned, independent, fundamental. No, man, I'm just a saved child of God. It's not just the Christian who believes in hell. The world believes in hell. Amen. It's not just us. It's not just the Bible. I'm talking about satanic people believe in hell. The devil worshipers themselves believe in hell. AC/DC, one of the most satanic rock and roll groups of the 80s. Y'all remember them? Come on, talk to me this morning. You know you do. You remember them? Hey, man, what was the song that made them famous was I'm on the Highway to Hell. They sang songs like Hell's Bells. Amen. Jimi Hendrix set his guitar on fire. I mean, brother, all them guys believed in hell. Now they're burning there. We okay this morning? Listen, we ought to get a hold. You say, well, I don't think we need a message like this. I think we do. Because we wouldn't fuss and fight and argue and bitter if the reality of hell was real in our hearts and our lives. You wouldn't worry about somebody talking about you behind your back. If hell was real to you, you'd be concerned about keeping somebody out of it. Amen. How dare we stand and sing about how beautiful heaven must be while we stab each other with our poisoned words, while we gossip about one another, while we lie and make up junk, while we embrace this world and all its garbage. Hey, you better listen to me this morning. Is there a place called hell? Amen. If there's not, let's go home. If there's not, Stacy, let's take these pews out and put pool tables in here. Amen. Let's take out the kitchen in the gym and put in a bar. Let's just make a social club out of this thing. If there's not a hell. If there's not a hell, let's fold the old book up and go to the house. Let's just say that's it. Let's stop the buses. No need to run them. But I'm here to tell you this morning, there is a place called hell. And people who die without God will spend eternity. You know what eternity is? That is forever. That is time that has no end. This 24-hour day we have, it will have an end. This daylight time, we will have an end. It will be dark after a while, but eternity has no end. It's forever. I believe the rich man in Luke chapter number 16, I believe he's still there, Brother Todd. Right now, as we preach this morning, the Bible said, in hell he lift up his eyes. Now listen carefully this morning. Everything in the Bible points to hell being in the heart of the earth, in the center of the earth. Isn't that odd? What did you learn in seventh grade science class? What did you learn? What's in the heart of the earth? What? Say it loud. Lava. You know what that is? That's liquid fire. Liquid fire. It's rocks melted down into a liquid. When you have a big group of liquid all gathered up into one place, come on, fishermen, help me. What do we call that? A lake. Where were those not found written in the Lamb's Book of Life? Where were they cast? Into the lake of fire. Every now and then that thing has to have some more room, so it belches out one of them mountains. Amen. We call that a volcano. I'm telling you, there is a literal place called hell. Amen. Science in the world knows it's there. They just don't want to acknowledge what it is. Amen. I'm telling you, there is a hell this morning. There is a reality of it. Listen, it was not created for you. So I don't believe God would send anybody to hell. He never has. It wasn't created for us. It wasn't created. It wasn't even created for fallen man. It wasn't created for sinners. It was created for the devil and his angels. When Lucifer in heaven, I mean, boy, he was a great angel. He was beautiful. But he thought he was going to be as powerful as God. So he got him a little following, and heaven had a split. Amen. And God created that place for him. But then man chose to reject God and to sin, to disobey God's one command. And God said, I cannot accept man in that fallen state because he's holy. I don't know where all we going this morning. I ain't got no notes, so I'm probably going to preach a whole Bible. Amen. God didn't make hell for you. You weren't designed for hell. Do you understand that? Do you understand that? You wasn't made that way. You don't have to die and go to hell. But it is real, and we need to get a grasp on it this morning. Our loved ones who don't know Christ as their Savior, I despise it when I have to do a funeral and I ask the family member, do you know if she or he, do you know if they were saved? Well, we don't know. What do you say in a funeral like that? Would it be hard just to be brutally honest? Wouldn't that be tough? Could you imagine going to a funeral and the preacher saying, oh, please pray for this family because this person they love is burning in the pits of the damned right now as we speak? Had a little bus kid. Her daddy died. She called me and she said, Brother Eddie, will you preach my daddy's funeral? I said, I will, darling. We was at the funeral home. I asked her, I said, was your daddy saved? She said, no, Brother Eddie. We standing in front of the casket. She come up, she put her arms around my waist. She said, Brother Eddie, is my daddy in hell? Brother Eddie, please, please tell me, is my daddy in hell? I had two choices. Tell that baby the truth or lie to her. I said, honey, if he wasn't saved, that's where he's at. You say, that's harsh. I know. It's horrible. But people who die without him, church, that's where they go. That graveyard is not the end. This graveyard service we're having Tuesday, that ain't for her, that's for us. She ain't, she's gone. Amen. That's to put your heart at ease. That's to find a resting place for your heart. That's not her resting place. Amen. Thank God we don't have to stand in that funeral home Tuesday and say, Somebody said, do you actually say that in the funeral? No, I never have. I think it'd just be cruel and mean. But I'll preach the truth. And I'll preach the gospel. And I'll preach on. Tell them there's a heaven and there's a hell. And if you die without Christ, that's where you'll go. Make your own assumption about the one laying there. Everything in the Bible points to hell being in the heart of the earth. That rich man in Luke chapter number 16. You know, if you know the story about the rich man and Lazarus. You've got a group of people out there who teach that hell has no literal place of fire. Amen. I admire Billy Graham. I do. I admire Billy Graham. Thank God for the great work he did back in the 50s and 60s. But there was a place where Brother Graham took a turn and started to walk away from some fundamental truths of the Bible. He led a lot of people to believe that hell is just a place separated from God. Oh, it is. It is separated from God, but that's not all it is. That would be hell light. Amen? Diet hell. Yes, it is a place away from God. They say that there's no literal fire. Well, the Bible said in hell, the rich man lifted up his eyes. He's got a body. He's got a literal body in hell. Said he lifted up his eyes. We okay this morning? I told you this wouldn't be shouting ground. He lifted up his eyes. You're going to have a body in hell. The Bible said he asked for, he looked over into Abraham's bosom, asked for Lazarus to come dip his finger in water and touch his tongue. Why? He said, for I'm in torment in this flame. He's burning. He has a body. He has eyes. He has a tongue. That means he's got to have a head. Are you listening? There is a literal place called hell. We're going to shout about heaven till Jesus comes. But we're going to warn about hell till Jesus comes. Why do we run buses up and down the road? So somebody can tell them little boys and girls that Jesus loves them. This I know, for the Bible tells me so. We're going to go out and knock on doors. Had right at 40 people yesterday out knocking on doors telling people, hey, Jesus loves you and he died for you. We'd love for you to come. Let us preach the gospel to you. Hey, we're going to proclaim it till Jesus comes. There is a place called hell. I wouldn't die and go there for nobody. Amen. That's some of you sitting right here this morning. It's not just your family. You ain't sure about your own self. You're not sure about your own self. Brother Johnny, one of my dear friends, we grew up together. He's been having some medical problems. Week before last, his face went numb like he's having a stroke, but it went away. Then he got sick on the job this week. I told him, I was just cutting up with him. I told him, I said, you better take care of yourself. I don't want to preach your funeral. I was cutting up, but I'm serious. I don't. I don't want to preach in every one of you's funeral. Amen. I hate them. I struggle with it. Amen. But if I have to, well, I'd like to have the assurance of knowing. Amen. I'd like to have the assurance of knowing where I'm preaching you at. Amen. You know what I'm saying? I'd like to be able to say, hey, don't worry about daddy. Don't worry about mama. I know where she's at. I heard their testimony. I know about when they got saved. Hey, man, we can shout and we can have some victory over this thing. I'd like to have that assurance. And there's some of you, I just don't. I don't have it because you don't have it. You need to get this thing settled in your heart and in your mind this morning. Listen, we're not promised 83. It's good that my grandmother lived to 83. Listen, truth, most of you won't. Most of you won't live to be that old. You just won't do it. Some of you won't make it to be a senior citizen. I hate it. But we go to the graveyard time after time after time. Listen to me. I've put a casket this big in the ground. And everywhere in between. I buried a man who was 94 years old, Brother Carl Mitchell. Dear man of God, member of our church, 94 years old, oldest person of funeral I've ever preached. And I've been everywhere in between. Childhood, teens. We buried a mother with a baby under each arm. Hit by a log truck. Bible said life is a vapor. It appears for a little while. It's just gone. It's just gone. Death is certain. There's no escaping it. Somebody said, did you hear so-and-so was dying? We all are. We all are. Every time you suck in and blow out, that's one less you got. And before I grab me another one, I'd make sure where I was going to spend it. Amen. I'd make sure where I was going to spend eternity if that's my last one. If this is it, I know where I'm going. I tell you all the time, tell your family, tell your children, tell your spouse, tell your husband, tell your wife, hey, if something happens to me, I want you to know that I'm sure about this thing. I've got it settled with God. Amen. We okay this morning? I know it's scattered. I can't help it. I'm doing what God told me to do. Chances are somebody will walk out of this place. I could have preached on that good shepherd this morning. And somebody could have walked out of here and busted hell wide open. Do you believe in hell? I don't like preaching about it. Why come we don't sing songs about hell? This is not a positive thing. It's not the only positive thing about hell is I ain't going. The only positive thing you can say about hell if you're saved is you ain't going. That's it. There is nothing positive we can say. Listen, man. There'll be nothing for you there. No comfort. No God. The grossest wickedness of this world, that's where it'll be. Plus the torment. Don't go to hell. Listen, I didn't get saved because I wanted to go to heaven. It was because I didn't want to go to hell. I realized at 19 years old for the first time in my life that if I died, I wouldn't go to heaven. But I've got peace in my heart. Have you? I'm not trying to confuse you this morning. I just want you to know. I just want you to know. If Jesus calls us home today, us all, the rapture, I want to know that I did my duty and I didn't leave it unsaid. That I gave you an opportunity, and you're not going to have a better one than you've got right now.
That's right.
Today is the day of salvation, the Bible said. Listen, while we fuss and fight, people are busting hell wide open every day. Somebody said there's a death every second. Isn't that wild? I wonder how many, and I'm not making light or little of the situation, But I wonder how many of those people who died in Japan. I wonder. A lot of them served a false god. That would break our hearts. I said, oh, it's horrible. So many people died. No, that's not the horrible part. The horrible part is their soul is still living somewhere. It ought to concern us. If the reality of hell would sink into our hearts, that'd stop just about every problem we got. Because we'd turn our focus on trying to keep people out of hell. I'm not preaching to you this morning. I'm begging you. I'm begging you. I used to say this all the time. When I witness to people, I try to picture them on fire. It's that serious. Pull Brother Tommy aside sometime. Ask him what it's like to see a body burning. And hell's going to be way, way worse than that. On this earth, if it catches on fire, it'll be over in just a little bit. Probably doesn't take very long at all. Just seconds, probably. But in hell, it'll last forever. And ever and ever. Whew. Are you settled this morning? Are you at ease? Do you know for sure?
Amen.
I don't know how to ask you any simpler than that. You say, preacher, can you know? Yes, you can know. You can leave here with that settled in your heart. You can leave here and tell your family, hey, you tell that preacher if something happens to me, I know I'm saved. You make sure you let that preacher know, I know where I'm going when I die. Let's stand our feet. Brother Todd, if y'all would come, Ashley.
Let's bow our heads all over the house. Nobody looking around. Not even sure how to give the invitation. I will say this. I did what I was supposed to do this morning. Will you? I did exactly what the Holy Spirit put in my heart to do. Will you? I don't even care if it was a good message. I did what I was supposed to do. On a scale of 1 to 10, if you rated it as a 0, I don't care. I know in my heart. Because that uneasiness I had before the preaching is gone. And I've got a peace. Will you do what you're supposed to do? Will you leave here today knowing you responded to God the way He'd have you to? Christians, would you wake up and realize the world is dying and going to hell around us? And we're God's voice. We're God's method to tell them about Him and how they can escape that awful, awful place. We need to get a hold of the reality of hell. I wonder if there's somebody here this morning. I want you to be honest with two people this morning. I want you to be honest with yourself. And I want you to be honest with God. Listen, I'm not about to ask you if you're a church member. Because that doesn't matter. I'm not about to ask you if you've been baptized, because that doesn't matter. But what I'm about to ask you is, do you know for sure that you're saved? Do you know for 100% assurity that if you died right now, heaven would be your home? If you've got that settled in your heart, I can't shake you. The Mormons can't shake you. The Jehovah's Witness can't shake you. You know for a fact that heaven's going to be your home. Give me a little testimony by just lifting your hand. You've got it settled in your heart. Thank you. Thank you for being honest. Boy, that's about all of us. Hallelujah. Only a few that couldn't raise their hand this morning. And I wonder if there's one that say, Brother Eddie, I'm not sure. I don't want to die and go to hell. I know I need to get this settled some way in my heart. Please pray for me. I won't embarrass you for nothing. I just want to pray for you. Just slip up your hand. Say, preacher, remember me. Pray I get this settled in my heart. Anybody? God bless you, sis. Anybody else? Thank you, sis. Thank you so much. Somebody else. Hey, preacher, pray for me. I ain't got it settled in my heart. God bless you. How about this? Preacher, I know I'm saved, but I ain't where I ought to be. Pray I'd get things where I ought to be with God. How about that? My hand's up. Praise the Lord. Let's pray together, Father, as we come to you this morning. Thank you, Lord, for a good day. Thank you for your blessings. Thank you, God, for what I know in my heart about eternity. Lord, I know that in my flesh dwelleth no good thing. But, Lord, my soul is saved. God, I thank you for that assurance. Lord, we sing a song called Blessed Assurance. Jesus is mine. Thank you, Lord, for that blessed assurance. God, you've seen every hand in this room that was raised this morning. Lord, you know every heart. Lord, that one that's nearest hell this morning, Lord, would you draw them? Lord, you said if you'd be lifted up, you'd draw them. Now, God, please just draw them unto yourself. Lord, as we give this altar call, Lord, I pray, you'd give one of these that raised their hand the assurance they need about their soul. Have your way, God, and we'll thank you and we'll praise you. For it's in Jesus' name I pray. Amen.